Welcome back to Casting Dreams, a Dreamcast podcast, and with me, Jonathan Eaton, and Patrick Anderson.
Hello.
Hi, Patrick. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm feeling very blue. I have a stinger in my back. But overall, I'm doing great on this beautiful Sunday afternoon.
Yeah. It's a great day to talk about a really good game, a super great, awesome game that we loved called Blue Stinger. Okay. I was thinking about this earlier today. Why is this game called Blue Stinger?
That is a beautiful question. I think it's probably somebody looked it up it's probably like the color of a car or something, and they just went, yeah, Blue Stinger.
That sounds cool.
Blue Stinger. That sounds good. Yeah.
I know that there's, like, the alien in this is, like, blue and, like, glows blue. And her little meteorite thing, like, glows blue. And I guess it's, like...
You have a stinger?
It's kind of shaped like a... It's, like, got a point on it. That was the only thing I could think of was, like, is that why it's called Blue Stinger? I don't know. It's a weird name. It's a weird name for a weird fucking game.
Yes, and a weird cover too. This makes you want to buy it, which I did back in 99.
I remember this being a pretty hyped game. we will 100% get into it, just to start off with, Blue Stinger is what we're talking about today. A launch game for the Sega Dreamcast in the US. I think it was... Oh, no, it did come out. I think it did come out first in Japan.
Correct. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was a launch game in the US. Let's see. So I notes on... My notes are insane. My notes are very crazy for this game.
Let me grab my... Okay.
All right. So Blue Stinger was... developed as a tribute to Western action movies, and something I thought was actually interesting and apparent in the game is that it took inspiration from Western action movies, specifically The Thing. Did you know that?
I did not know that, but I mean, who wouldn't be inspired by The Thing? So yes, yeah.
But you can, Patrick says, as he has several John Carpenter framed posters behind him. What's that one next to Halloween?
That's a poster I got for John Carpenter's fourth album, Noir. Mm. So nice. I have pictures of John, his son Cody, and Daniel Davies. So yes,
nice. It is a tribute to Western action movies, which does make sense. I feel like the more you get into the game, it does just, it plays like an action movie.
Mm-hmm.
But okay, there's stuff about it that doesn't, I think, very jive very well. Preparation for this game, pre-production for this game. My handwriting is terrible. I was writing so fast. Pre-production started in 1996. This was originally being developed for the Sega Saturn.
Oh, interesting.
And then they started actual production in 1997, and at some point it moved from the Saturn to the Dreamcast production for the game. Not only inspiration from Western action movies, but they also, game-wise, they drew inspiration from, this is not going to surprise you, Resident Evil. Enemy Zero, which I vaguely remember, but I never played.
Yes, I have that. Yep.
You have that. What was that for?
That was for the Sega Saturn.
Okay. And a horror game?
Yeah, it's like a first-person horror game. Like the... You remember the game D? The main character, Laura? Well, not saying it's the same character, Laura, but they have a character named Laura who is... basically mute in that game. It's very rare that you hear it talk, but it's a first perspective. Like the aliens in the game or the creatures are actually invisible, and you have a gun and a radar, and you basically have to shoot them right before they get to you. But it's kind of like aliens in the sense you have that meter, and it's like, oh my gosh, I think it's close, fire now, and Yeah, so it's I think it's actually pretty cool. So nice. Yeah, I like it.
Resident Evil, Enemy Zero, and Alone in the Dark. So some at the time big, you know, horror games. Resident Evil obviously has survived much longer than those other ones.
Yes.
So Boostinger was created by Shinya Nishigaki, if I'm pronouncing that right. He brought in someone named Robert Short for the creature design. I didn't know who Robert Short was or like why that was notable, but I looked him up. Robert Short won the best makeup Oscar for Beetlejuice in 1989, or I guess 1990.
Interesting.
Or wait, no, sorry. Beetlejuice was 87, I think. But yeah. So cool. Oscar winning makeup designer brought in to design the creatures. The creature designs are pretty good. We'll get into like what we did and didn't like about the game later. The hardware, this is great. So there's two playable characters in the game. The hardware couldn't handle having them both on screen at the same time. So the game is presented in this really weird way where you start off playing as Elliot. And you really quickly, immediately in the game, you meet dogs.
Dogs.
And he's the second playable character, but you have to manually switch between the two of them in the pause screen.
Mm-hmm.
But the conceit is they're together the whole time. It's just weird that you only see one of them at a time. But it was apparently, well, okay, so this is what I don't get. I read that it was a drawback of the hardware to only have, like, one character on screen at the same time. But apparently they didn't know the full specs of the Dreamcast, so they ended up only using half of the graphic capacity of the Dreamcast.
Oh my gosh. Oh.
Which, doesn't that make sense, playing this fucking game?
Yes, it does, completely, yes. That's amazing, I didn't know that.
Because I was like, this should look and play better, shouldn't it? This does not feel like it was supposed to be a really big, you know, launch title, and it was successful. But yeah, it doesn't scream. It doesn't have the polish that like Sonic Adventure had or Soul Calibur had. Like, just to talk about the other, you know, games
right.
that we've already talked about, they use half the graphic capacity. They also meant to make the character Janine, who is basically like the third character in the game. They meant to make her playable, and they ran out of time to make her playable. So that's why it feels like, because when we, you know, when you meet her in the game, I thought, oh, OK, a third playable character. No, you never play as her. You only play as Elliot or dogs.
OK, interesting. That. Wow. Thank you for researching this.
So it would have been, I think, more interesting. Yeah. It would have been more interesting, I think, to play as her than just the other two. I don't know. I don't know what her, like, kind of stats would have been. Okay. The music was inspired by John Williams.
Sorry.
Which I also get. Yes. And you know the thing I love about, like, movies with John Williams music in it is how the music never stops ever in the entire movie.
Nope. Well, that clearly makes it, you know, it's totally now understandable when you walk around and the music is constantly on edge.
Yeah, yeah. Remember watching Jaws and all those like slow, thoughtful moments? How there was just constant like bum 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 bum. God damn it! I literally, one of the first notes I wrote while playing the game was that the music is relentless. The music,
yes,
is truly. Oh God. I just want to go back in time and shake the developers and be like, you can have a quiet room.
It's okay. I actually had to double check and make sure I took all my anxiety medicine before I played, because I was like, did I take it? I feel so freaking like over edge. So, and it was like, yes, I did take it. It's just what you're supposed to feel when you play Blue Stinger.
Okay, now we're in Christmas Town. Yeah, Jesus Christ, that goddamn music.
Dogs, 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 dogs.
Gotcha,
dog,
gotcha,
gotcha, gotcha.
Every
gotcha,
time you gotcha. Switch to dogs, he goes, gotcha,
gotcha, gotcha. Get some coins, gotcha. Gotcha.
That was something else I wrote down in all caps with, gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
This is very, very interesting.
Okay.
And also, I think, makes a lot of sense, and I think would have made the game better. The Japanese version of the game had a fixed camera angle. It was fully 3D, but we haven't talked about Resident Evil Code Veronica yet, but Resident Evil Code Veronica was the first fully 3D Resident Evil game, but it was still fixed camera. But it could do cool shit where the camera could move.
Right.
So, like, the camera's fixed, but it can move around. I watched a bit of, like, Japanese playthrough of the game, and... Cool. I honestly think the fixed camera angle, I think, would have made this game 5 to 10% more playable.
the scale would have been bumped up for sure.
It would have been better.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the Japanese version was a fixed camera angle. They for some reason... Oh, no, it was... did I write this down or did I just remember reading about it? So I think it's... Is it Atari was the publisher?
Activision.
So the American publisher Activision demanded that the game be a over the shoulder, whatever, not over the shoulder because that kind of hadn't been invented
but
yet,
like, but like third person
camera.
Yeah.
So they had to retrofit the camera into the game as it was already made, and like truly makes the game so much harder to play, and I think just play worse all around. Because I don't know how it's like coded or programmed, but I feel like the camera must be connected, you know, like tied to the character model, because you like run in this like kind of stilted fashion as you, like you're running. It's like instead of like fluid forward motion, and the camera does this thing where it's like constantly kind of like pulling back every step a little bit. Did you notice that?
Yes, I noticed that. Yeah, it's like you move forward and the camera just kind of has to do reverse. Yeah. Like, whoa, stop it.
Oh, you know what else I loved? I loved going into a new room and hearing a monster and not being able to fucking see it where it was and then getting hit immediately. I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was... I've because the rooms, especially in that, you know, department store or whatever, like those rooms are just so thin and small. It's like if you walk into a room, then it's just
thud, thud, thud. Oh no. Okay. What, where, why is this department store only corridors?
Action game. Yes.
Action. It's an action game. Sega wanted a sequel to this game,
but this is
very interesting, Patrick. Shinya Nishigaki, who made Blue Stinger, declined to make a sequel because he was already working on his next game, which do you know what that was?
Illbleed.
I had no idea the same guy made these two games.
Yep.
And I cannot wait to... it's going to be interesting because I love Illbleed, but it has been a while since I played it, so it's going to be... fascinating to see how that game holds up to this game.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a while for myself too.
Blue Stinger sold poorly in Japan, but it sold well in the US and it was a success, and it got above average reviews kind of across the board. I was looking up some reviews, and it's funny because it was very the reviews were pretty favorable and positive when it came out, and now, like, reviews of it kind of now praise aspects of the game, but the common through line of this episode is 100% going to be this game sucks to play. This game sucks to play. It's really, really rough.
We're just being honest, you know? We're just being honest.
Look, we're, you know, We're just a couple of Dreamcast lovers. I'm not gonna love every Dreamcast game.
Exactly. Right. Well put.
So, Blue Stinger, boy, can you tell me what this game's about?
So there's like a meteor that's coming to this planet, and underneath there's like a dinosaur egg on Dinosaur Island, and
yeah,
when the meteor hit, oh god, I don't.
You're close, man. Okay. You got a lot right, honestly.
Okay. Then Elliot and Dogs, who are part of the team, is obviously there to stop it from happening, and the little genie the Blue Stinger, whatever, that girl, Elson, whatever.
Niflum.
Yeah.
Niflum, or as they say in the game towards the end, as they get to know her a little better, Niffy.
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 She's not really a good thing, if I took that right. They're all like, oh, wow, look at this beautiful, like, thing. And then it's like, no, actually, it's kind of a bad thing. I don't know.
Kind of.
And so Elliot wants to have sex with.
Oh boy, does he.
Oh boy, he loves his women. Janine, and then Dogs, like, well, no, I don't want to go into spoilers. but he has some strange feelings about Janine as well. So,
I love, so first of all, I love the beginning of the game starts off with like this really extended text crawl to like get you up to speed on like what the fuck is even happening to begin with. But yeah, it's I think it, like South America, it's the crater from the dinosaur meteor. So there's an earthquake at some point where all of the land mass around the crater sinks into the ocean, leaving only the crater as an island, and so they renamed that island Dinosaur Island in, I guess, memory of the dinosaurs. Because at first I was like, oh, cool, am I going to fight dinosaurs? No. Nah. It's just called Dinosaur Island. And then we cut to Elliot, our hero, who is a rescue worker, but he's not there working. He's on vacation.
Happens to be nearby.
To me, baffling. Yeah, like, I'm just on vacation with my buddy who's making a model of this little angel thing. And then a meteor comes down. Yeah, these are those great CG graphics. Not a bad reflection on that boat, if I'm being honest.
Oh.
What is that? What is he doing with his hand?
I don't know.
What's up,
Billy? Oh, God. And
why do you think Chimera Tech built such a huge research?
What's up, Elliot? And this, oh god, even right from the start, the music's like
Steven Spielberg presents Blue Stinger.
Peak Spielberg, guys, peak Spielberg. And it's really, yeah, I'm just like, wait, hang on, what?
I rented it from the Gamera Tech.
I said your model's cool. Can you turn this diegetic music down? Also, yeah, here's my impression of the face animation.
We decorate
the boat. That was beautiful.
It's not that far.
Oh, and the other. Oh my god. The music is, from the beginning, fucking relentless. I was playing this in my basement, and even part of the decoration. Even playing it alone in my basement, I was like turning it down. I'm like, God damn.
A Nephrim. It's a character from the Bottled Angel series.
A Nephrim is a character from the Bottled Angel series?
Oh, I don't want to know what this guy does in his free time.
It's a Nephrim. Check out our titties.
Yay. She's a very powerful girl. I love it when it blows up and it shows like his friend's face, like nose get huge, like like he expands and I forget where it is.
This thing, the big bubble part.
Yeah, like how he expands his face.
Like I straight up can't hear what he's saying over the music.
Whoa.
Oh yeah. Whoa. What is that about?
Oh, Jesus
Christ. Oh man.
Excellent choice to show the power of Blue Stinger.
The meteor comes down, it like hits the center of the crater. You know, on the island there's like a big like a research facility like built on the island. And then the crater, the meteor makes this big, like, crazy dome happen, which, like, freezes time, and the boat blows up, and you think his friend dies, but not before a little blue light goes, and this is my favorite thing. So, like, this alien, there's an alien in the meteor, and the little model the guy is making is a Nephilim. And this blue light alien floats around, and then it sees this model, and it's like, I will take that as my likeness. And then it, like, takes that as likeness. I was like, what if that dude was building a little, like, model of, like, a big titty anime girl?
Oh, boy.
And then, like, this alien's like, this is what I'll look like. Boing, boing. Like, it happened to just take the form of a toy or a little toy model. Like, that could have been anything. That would have been hilarious.
What's this weird little, like, you know, cock thing on top of my head? Just ignore that. It's just a figure I've been building. Just
this isn't normal here on Earth. I don't know anything about Earth. Is this normal?
Hey, how's it going?
What were you building? I was building like a tentacle fuck monster.
Very interested in it. Very. Always wanted to make one.
Yeah, it's really disgusting. So then, Elliot like washes ashore. There's a rescue helicopter that crashes. Dogs is in the helicopter, and I can't remember what his role exactly is. But then they meet up.
Where you go to the island? I am still a rescue.
Dogs is introduction.
There are people there who need help. What a joke! Obviously, you're going to need good help, like me. I can't let a wimp like you go alone.
Whatever.
Dogs hates Elliot. And this music, I feel like this music is like giving me a panic attack right now.
Yeah, right? That's why I wanted to make sure I took my anxiety medicine. I'm like, oh my god, I gotta move this crate. Oh my god, this music. Oh my god.
I gotta move this fucking... Do you know how long it took me to figure out I had to move that crate to find this fucking key on top of that thing?
Yeah, because that's a good place to put a key. What's that person doing up there?
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can find ATM cards throughout the game that you can then, like, get money. There's monsters on the... It's your classic everyone who lived here got turned into a monster situation.
Correct.
And then they go around, they meet Janine.
Go to Etsy and get one of those Easter t-shirts. Hopefully somebody makes one of those.
What do you mean?
Take a look at this.
take a look at this.
The pacing is crazy too, because it's just like, take a look at this. Database of this island's lab. Amazing! This lab immediately achieved the top revenue. See, as you can see here, like Jesus Christ,
it keeps on moving up. I should
pay me more so I can pay off my tab at the bar.
Oh, dogs!
Alcoholism is funny.
I'm just. Were you just saying that you? Wait, what T-shirt did you say you wanted?
I want to get that Easter T-shirt that Elliot has. It's so cool.
See, I was just gonna say I want to get the T-shirt Dogs is wearing that has a picture of a hammerhead shark on it, and it says "Wind." Why? Why does it say "Wind"?
Because it. Blue gas? I don't know.
they go through this whole facility, and there's a shopping district and like a lab and all sorts of crap. And then, you know, eventually what turns out is what you said. There's a giant dinosaur egg under the island that's like waking up. And the Niflum Niffy, if you will, I think came down to fight it or defeat it. Or something, and so like they have to get it through to the egg, and then there's a big like monster fight basically at the very end, and that's I think basically it. Oh, and spoilers, Janine is Dogs' daughter.
Oh,
Dogs is her estranged father. You were talking about the character dynamic in this game is wild.
Yes.
Because Janine's like, hey, idiots, come help me fix the situation. And then Elliot's like, ooh, what a cutie. I love a girl with some spunk. Oh, you minx. We're going to do it. Like, I like you. Yeah, sure thing, sweetie tits. Like, and then Dogs is like, this stupid bitch. Like, the whole game, I'm like, what?
You stupid bitch.
Is going on. Oh, I hate women. Come on. Dumb fucking broads.
Oh, that's my daughter.
And then, and then the reveal of that was so confusing because Elliot finds out that you go to Janine's room at one point to, like, get her sniper rifle and you find a picture of her parents and it's Dogs. And he's like, yeah, I left her mom 20 years ago. And it's like, so do you both know
who that is?
Do you know she's your daughter? And does she know you're her dad? Does one of you know what is happening? Because when they like meet back up, they have this moment that seems like it's a, I'm your dad. Oh, dad. It's like, so did she not know? It's confusing. It's weird.
Great writing.
Super great writing. I loved it. So let's, and there's like some side characters that you kind of meet throughout the thing, but that doesn't matter. Oh yeah, there's this little girl that you can like give a stuffed animal to.
Yeah.
This
Kaylee!
I really want to be like, what? Sorry, I can't hear you over this music.
I'll just shoot.
Oh, Gailey.
Yeah, stuffed animal. Yeah.
Merry Christmas.
Gailey! I love you. Thank you.
Where are your parents?
I don't know.
Let me look around.
Oh, this...
The music, man.
Yeah, it's... Oh, man. They should put, like, an anxiety warning on there. I mean, oh, my God.
Gameplay. This is what I really wanted to get into. What did you think? What are your thoughts playing Bluesinger?
Very, very, at the time, yes, it plays very much like a 90s third-person PlayStation/Saturn Dreamcast type of gameplay.
Mm-hmm.
The mechanics, I mean, yeah, what, punch three times and then you can knock the creature over for the most part. It's just you have to get in close, take chances that you will or will not get hit.
Mm-hmm.
If you do have a gun or some special ability, it's, you know, chances are, yeah, you might hit it, but depending on where you are, like I mentioned before, like yeah. in a closed encounter room, you could just miss entirely, not know mm-hmm. what the hell you're hitting at, and die, which, yes, you will die a lot in this game.
Yeah.
It's not really, I mean, not really too kind to that, but it was very nostalgic. And like, okay, I've got to put myself back in this position because that's how games were. They're not like what games are now. And
yeah,
obviously camera fluidity, frame rate, everything runs really high. Rather than this, it's like you mentioned, the camera keeps on having to adjust and pull back. And then of course, depending where you are, it's so overall, Jonathan, yes, it's clunky and to me, it can be frustrating, but I could see where some people are like, oh, it's nostalgic. I like this. And
yeah.
I can't do that.
Yeah. Did you, you got this game when the Dreamcast came out in 99,
yes.
did you, and you played it, but how much of it, do you remember how much you played then?
I remember I didn't beat it at that time. I think I got to the stamp section of the game where you're in the department stores and I just gave up, but I remember I didn't beat it. It was,
I'm laughing because
it.
That's where I gave up.
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes.
That's
yes,
crazy.
It's the same thing. It's just like,
yeah,
I can't do this. It's no.
Oh my God. I never played Blue Singer. I thought I had. I really thought I had, and then I was playing it, and I realized, no, I haven't ever played. I must have just seen the cover so many times and just, like, implanted the memory in my brain that, like, yeah, you played this game. But I think I was thinking of Carrier, which is a game that we will do. But I definitely played Carrier.
Mm-hmm.
Did not play Blue Stinger, though. So this is the first time I ever played it. And, yeah, I immediately was like, I hate this. Controls are so clunky, and again, I think it would have been saved a lot by a third or a fixed camera.
Yeah,
because the camera is terrible. The camera is terrible, but also the thing I hated the most about the game was that every time you leave a room that has a monster in it and come back, the monster's back. So
yeah.
Unlike, let's say, Resident Evil, which this takes heavy cues from, I think. Unlike Resident Evil, where you kill a monster and that monster is dead and is, you know, it'll disappear, but it's
right.
not going to come back. This game, it's like they didn't, either they did it on purpose. Maybe they did it on purpose because the gameplay loop really does seem to be fight monsters and kill them because they drop money. That's the only way you get, well, it's not the only way you get money, but the main way you get money seems to be fighting monsters. Fight monsters, get the money, and then go and buy health and ammo and whatever. And it seems designed for you to be able to, like, go back through a room as many times as you want to kill monsters and get a bunch of money.
Right.
The problem for me was that I didn't realize how necessary the melee was to this game. So I was just using guns. And I ran out of all my fucking ammo.
Yeah.
And literally just got into a corner where I had no ammo and I couldn't kill anything with melee. And I just died. I just kept dying. And it was like, this sucks. How are you supposed to play this game? And then I was like watching some stuff on YouTube, like walkthroughs, and realizing, oh, I guess I was playing it wrong. I guess I was playing it very wrong. But yeah, there's I think you need to get a shirt, and I think you can get it pretty soon in the game, but there's a shirt you can get for dogs that gives you this, like, they call it sumo. So instead of, like, your regular fight, he, like, crouches down like a sumo fighter,
yeah.
and he goes like, ha, 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 like with his hands. And that shit seemed to be invincible. Like, watching the video, it seems like you could just go up to a monster and just do that until it's dead.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know.
I found out later too, so don't worry.
Wouldn't it make the game better? But at least would have... I maybe could have gotten further than I did. Oh my god. Oh yeah, and this is the fucking sumo shit that dogs can do. It looks like he's fighting the Rancor.
Yeah. Again,
and he's doing a great
cool.
job.
Yeah, like...
I can't say... I keep looking over and seeing myself.
oh my god.
Yeah. Oh, but look at all the
coins.
Money you got. Jesus
coins.
Christ.
It played like the whole track when he was fighting it. Now truth starting.
I just like punch the speakers. I also want to go through some of my notes and we can compare.
Sure.
We should compare
absolutely.
Our notes. I did think it was ambitious, and I was getting reminded a lot in the beginning of Metal Gear Solid, like storytelling wise, and like there's even like a kind of a codec, like in Metal Gear Solid there's the codec thing where like you talk to someone, you know,
yeah.
the radio thing, and they even do that in this game when like you talk to Janine and it like pops up with a little, you know, the audio waveforms and crap,
right?
And I thought, oh, you're going for kind of like a Metal Gear Solid thing, your cutscene's really long, the acting is absolutely terrible. crazy bad acting, crazy bad not effects, graphics,
right.
Like the gameplay, the game itself, you know, like when you're playing it, I think the graphics are mainly of its time, but still I think below, well, and obviously they didn't know what the graphic capacity was, but even, like the CG cutscenes are pretty terrible looking for 1999.
Yep, agree. Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised they, I mean, you could tell obviously between the gameplay and the cinematics that they, you know, they somewhat kind of look the same, but I feel like they could have done maybe like Resident Evil Code Veronica and like really make it feel like a true CGI
yeah.
movie rather than, oh, we just kind of cleaned up the characters a little bit, and it's like, no, because like you said, that they didn't look that great to start with. Obviously, looking at it now versus what it was back then. So
yeah. I even like Silent Hill, which came out in before this. I don't know what. Do you remember what year Silent Hill was? Was it like 97, 98, maybe?
Yeah, because I want to say maybe 97, because I know Resident Evil came out, what, 95, 96?
95, 96.
Yeah, so it wasn't too much afterwards, because I remember playing it when I graduated from high school. So, yeah, it was, I would say, around 97, 98.
Oh, wait, 99?
99,
really?
Wow.
I really thought it was before that. Okay, well, so... same year, earlier in the year, so February 99. Whoa. February 99, but I remember, I mean, you know, Silent Hill was a PS1 game. Graphics are obviously worse than this, but
right.
it had full CG cutscenes, and the CG cutscenes in Silent Hill were pretty great at the time, like much more realistic looking than this. This looks, to me, very bad, even for when it came out.
Right.
I wrote, it feels like a combination of action and survival horror minus the horror.
Yeah. Oh, yes, actually, I very similar description of what I've got. It was like it was trying to be very, it was just, I don't know what it was trying to, like, it wanted to hit all the different categories,
yeah.
but
yeah.
it just couldn't deliver on on everything that it said it was. So like you said, without the horror, it was just kind of like, oh, we've got horror like creatures, but the music definitely did not make it feel like a horror game. Made it feel like a fucking Indiana Jones game or something like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it wants to be. So yeah.
And it just, it is really an action game. I think it was being pitched as like a survival horror game at the time, or like action horror, but it is a straight up fucking action game. And it has these elements of a survival horror game that's like resource management and like you don't have a lot of ammo, and it's that sucks for what kind of game this is. There's so many enemies and they respawn endlessly. And it's so fucking like that does not work with this like survival horror formula. It got so frustrating so quickly.
Yay, more coins. Cool.
Yay, okay. Coins.
Hey, I like coins. Mario Brothers. Yippee! Yeah.
I was telling Becca about it, and I was saying, I was like, the gameplay is just seems to be mainly find a key for this door. You got to go here. Oh, but the door is locked. So you got to find a key for the door. And then you go and you find a key for a different door. And then you go in there and you find... And I was like, oh, it's so stupid and frustrating. And she was like, isn't that also Resident Evil? I'm like, shut up. No. It's different. There's puzzles. You gotta switch these crests.
You need the red ruby and the blue ruby and put it in the tiger. I mean, it's different.
You have to pull this metal crest out of the fireplace, and then you have to go find the wooden crest, and you gotta switch out the metal one and the wooden one, and then you put the wooden one back in over the fireplace, and then that makes the grandfather clock slide out of the way. And in the grandfather clock, when it slides out of the way, that is a key. I think it might be the shield key. I don't know. And that opens up the attic, and that's where you fight the snake. It's totally different.
Well, again, the music, the atmosphere, everything is what really makes. And please, I mean, yes, I'm going to mention again John Carpenter. I'm his prostitute. I'm his whore. I love all his stuff, even the bad stuff.
You're his hype man.
Yes, but it's very true, and I like to just mention what he mentions. It's like, you know, music is basically the carpet of a movie, and the same could be, you know, put towards a game. It's just like atmosphere. It's things that you hear, but you don't necessarily, it doesn't distract you from what you're playing.
Yeah.
And this game, every time that music ended, you know, if it's the department store or just overall, like it plays the track, it ends, and then it plays over again, and you're like,
and I think
I don't know
like...
what I'm doing.
Yeah. And there's, I think, like 3 or 4 music tracks. I don't know. There could be more, but that's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
I did. I wrote down, where the fuck am I supposed to go?
Very good. Yes.
I was like, I just saw a cutscene. I'm playing this game. Wait, what? Where? Where do I go? Oh, the map is terrible. Also, the map was fucking useless.
I'm just checking that off. Yes, map bad.
Map bad. That never before. And you said this earlier, like, oh, we're so used to, I feel like we're gonna say this a lot, we're so used to modern games and like modern game amenities.
Yeah.
And one of the modern game amenities that I was dying for in this was a waypoint. Like, fuck. Tell me which direction to go in or something. I'm not dumb, but this sucks. I can't figure it out. I'm just running in circles and dying constantly.
Blue stinger. We done it.
Oh, did you save the guy in the shuttle?
No, I did. Oh, wait. I did before when I first played it, but the second time I did not save him.
I couldn't figure out how to do it.
I know, because the time.
There's a timer counting down. I'm like, shit, where do I go? Shit. And then he blows up. There's a gun in that shuttle. There's like a shotgun in that shuttle, I think.
Oh, shit.
Or it might have been the napalm gun. There is a gun in that shuttle, and I saw that in a walkthrough. I was pissed. I didn't get it.
Yeah. No,
no, again, like, would have made it more play, would have made it easier. my last note that I wrote down from actually playing the game was just, I died. I died.
I say stop now. Died multiple times. So, mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Character development and character arc. not.
I wrote down, Elliot is... what is this word? Oh, Elliot is insufferable with one-liners. And then I wrote in quotes, women, and then she's cute.
Vasectomy.
Wait, did he say that?
No, but oh. I just put that on there. Like, please don't clone vasectomy.
Oh, my God.
The one thing I said was that I did love the campy feeling of it, though, as much as it. Lots of frustrations and everything through it, though. I guess I put myself back to 99, and it's like, man, yeah, this fit back in the 90s. There's got this cool kind of campy, different. And I love retro games, as you know me. I love playing old Saturn games, TurboGrafx 16 games, Nintendo games. I mean, I love retro stuff. And I put myself back in that position when I played them. But this game, though, it was just really difficult for me to be like, okay, you're playing it now.
Yeah.
Right. But it sucks. Remember back in 99?
Yeah.
I respected it.
I think it might have sucked then. I enjoy the campiness. I mean, obviously, Resident Evil's my favorite game of all time. One of the reasons I love Resident Evil is the, you know, just don't open that door. Like, just the... line reads are crazy. I did think the line reads in this were hilarious with how campy and bad it was. And yeah, it didn't bother me, the campiness. It was mainly, like you're saying, just like the actual playability was electricity's back grating.
On. Unlock the run road and open the door to the car. It's a lot safer to use the car.
Oh, this is it.
Merry Christmas.
It's now the 25th.
Oh, this is the worst Christmas I ever had.
Damn, it's my payday.
Did you miss a date tonight?
No way. Let's go.
What?
What?
No, to the place where the blue light's at.
Oh, almost hit him.
Call me when you need me, Janine.
Oh my god. I just... that exchange, I was like... It's Christmas. Damn, it's my payday. What?
Let's go to the bank.
I did like the creature design, for the most part. I like the creature design. There's one boss at some point in the game that looks like a Jeep hermit crab.
Yeah.
That thing was cool. I liked that. I was like, that's cool. It's like a big monster using a Jeep as a shell. So it's just like crawling around. That gave a good sense of like scale, I thought.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wrote down, dog, what a bitch. Janine, you're my dad. Their entire relationship.
What a bitch.
I also liked the name of the health drink, Hassie.
Oh, Hassie. Hell yeah. Yeah,
I don't know what that is, but it's such a good and that took me right back to like 1999. Like that was such a good. Oh, here's a nonsense, nothing name for a soda that doesn't exist. But like you can tell you like if you saw this in a grocery store, you'd be like, oh, yeah, Hassie.
Energy drink. Yeah, Hassie.
Hassie. He's a big Hassie and a little Hassie. And I like the I wrote down Hassie girls because in the department store and places there's like cardboard cutouts of just like. Women in bikinis, and it just says Hassie.
That's how they think Americans love their energy drinks and beers.
There was so much shit like that, I feel like, in games in that era. And yeah, I don't know if it was like, let's appeal to American men. So here's just like swimsuit models.
Yeah.
For no reason. In like, here's a secret science lab, but check out this bikini poster.
Yeah, the 19-year-old boys will like this.
Mm-hmm. The enemy designs also reminded me of Dead Space, which obviously this came out way, way, way before Dead Space, but I kind of thought that was interesting a little bit.
If they could just do the map in Dead Space, you know, like where you hit the button, like, and it shows the arrow where to go. That would have been awesome in Blue Stinger. I would have loved it. Yeah.
Maybe better. I just replayed the Dead Space remake kind of recently, and that game fucking rocks. Did you play the remake?
I do own it for PS5. Yeah, I just need to
play it on easy.
Yeah.
Just play it on easy.
You know, I feel as a side note, Jonathan, I don't feel bad now when I play games, like when I find time and it's like normal, easy, hard. I'm like, easy. I just want the story. Thank you so much. Yeah. And so, yeah, I don't feel guilty. I don't feel bad.
I might. You know what? I played the Dead Space remake when it came out, and then I replayed it recently, and it has a new game plus, which I appreciate. So you can start over with all your shit from the first game. And the first time I played it on fucking easy. And the second time I just replayed it, I was like, oh, I've got all my stuff. I'll play it on medium. I'll be a little badass, and I'll play this game on medium difficulty. But you know, with all my guns, with all my guns and like all my suit upgraded, I don't want a challenge.
No,
I just want to have some spooky fun.
Exactly.
Did you get to the part? You didn't get to the part playing it, but did you see the scene where they take a bath?
Yeah, that was kind of near towards the end of the game, or the last, I guess. Yeah, so that was what the, and then Ellie gets infected, or
he starts turning into a monster. Oh my god. At a certain point they have to, well, it's so confusing. I think the conceit is like they're going into like the laboratory and they have to be clean. So they not only have to change clothes, which the only clothes they can find for dogs that will fit him is a fucking Santa outfit. So dogs is dressed like Santa for a decent portion of this game. I couldn't believe
it suits you.
He was Santa. I was watching this and Becca looked over and she was like, why the fuck is that guy dressed as Santa?
I don't know.
That day might come soon.
It sounds like two people having a conversation. It sounds like two people having two different conversations.
Conversations. Yes. They weren't together for filming.
Right. Not only do they have to change clothes, but they also have to wash themselves. And so they take a bath. Just Elliot and dogs just take a bath together in one scene. And I'm like, this is part of the story.
I'm going to take a bath. Nothing's going to stop me.
What you'll do if the monster attacks you while you're butt naked?
I'll fight back butt naked. Stop whining. Just jump in the tub.
I'm not sure if this is such a good idea.
Neither am I.
Hey, in the tub we go. Taking a bath in the middle of a battlefield. That cool.
Well, I guess.
That cool.
That cool.
Hey, you're more macho than I thought.
Shut up.
And then they have a bath.
This might be the last bath I can take.
I see.
You want to, like, do some hand stuff?
Yes. We should.
Yeah. And then immediately after they take a bath and they get into, like, where they need to go, Elliot gets, I think he said he gets monster blood in his mouth, like he swallowed some monster blood. And then he starts turning into a monster gradually. But it's hilarious because he just looks disgusting. Like there's just like shit all over his face. And the voice actor is like,
I swallowed some blood.
And Dogs is like, ah, what's wrong with you, kid? And he's like,
I feel sick. I think I swallowed some of the monster vomit.
Oh, monster vomit. That's even worse.
That's not good. Elliot, you look sick.
There's so much dead air.
I can't talk.
Well, we should look for some medicine.
When he said, I can't talk, I was like, good.
Yes.
Yes.
It's like little wings grow out of his neck, and he's just like, like he fully can't talk anymore. And dog's like, just nod.
And then it plays that music. It's like, okay.
Relentless, unforgiving music.
Stupid, nobody will come. They're all dead. Take it off me, please.
I said don't talk. Here, let me.
I think this is my favorite part of the game.
Oh, God. Dogs.
What the fuck?
Ellie, can you see me?
I did appreciate. I liked when Elliot was a monster, and I guess it's only when he's a monster. I wrote, he turned into Spider-Man because when he's a monster, you can like crawl. It's Spider-Man. You just like crawl up walls and ceilings. That was fun. I was like, ooh. Like new powers, that's pretty cool to give you like for a portion of the game. I did think that was a cool section. I just would have appreciated having been able to get to it, because I would have had to play for like 4 hours, I feel like, to have gotten there.
That's how long that playthrough was, wasn't it? Wasn't it like...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, I would have had to play for like 8 hours, because
double that.
we watched a playthrough on YouTube. Because, again, we're not going to play all these games that we're going to do. We're not going to play the whole game. Maybe some of them I might play the whole game if I have the time and I can get through it.
Yeah.
But I did just want to, like, familiarize myself with as much of it as I can. That playthrough was someone going through it very efficiently, and it was like 4 hours, so I do think it would have taken me like 8 hours to get to the Spider-Man section. And again, in that section, I did think it was funny when you progress to like the last stage of being a monster before you fully turn into a monster. This text comes up on the screen, and it just says Elliot has 30 minutes to live, and then a countdown starts. It's like, damn, that's brutal. Oh, I would have lost my shit entirely. Like, oh no, okay, I give up.
They probably forgot to tell the player that. So they put in like, you have 30 minutes.
You have 30 minutes starting now. It's going to keep counting down during cutscenes because we don't know how to stop the clock.
Really just half the power of the Dreamcast. We can't control it.
And then when the game ends, it says, see you next adventure. And I thought that was bold.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys thought you were going to make a bunch of these, didn't you?
No, you guys got to move on. Make a good game. Make Ill Bleed. So
make Ill Bleed, please. So there's a bunch of things that you can unlock in this game that require playing way too much of the game. There's no way I was ever going to get near any of this. It was reminding me a lot of like games at that time where you do have to play the game a million times and meet all this crazy criteria. But there's a few different modes and things you can unlock. Let's see. There's an all weapons mode, which if you do the all weapons mode, I think that was just like you have to beat it under a certain amount of time. And then you can play the game again with all weapons. But it's only Elliot for some reason. It's not both characters. It's just Elliot. You start the game off with every single weapon. And it's not infinite ammo. You just can start the game off with, like, all of the weapons. And there's a lot of fucking weapons, too.
Huh.
Which I thought was fun. Like, I had a handgun and a bow gun. And I miss getting, like, a napalm gun in that shuttle that blows up. But there's, like, handgun, shotgun, acid gun, napalm gun, laser gun, plasma gun, bazooka, ray gun, and then there's melee weapons. Bare hands, metal bat, axe, stun rod, that's the thing, it looks like a lightsaber. Iron fists, ray sword, I don't know what the ray sword is, and power mixer. And this is what the power mixer looks like. Oh yeah, this whole video showing this stuff is just, it has the fucking Christmas music laid into it, which I don't understand.
No, I don't want to hear it. No.
It's like this person chose any music to listen to, and he chose this music.
Mm.
Oh, there it is. Look at the power mixer. But there's also something called Mad Mode, and that's playing the game 3 times in a row. Also meeting really, really crazy criteria. Like, there's people that you have to talk to. There's people that you can't talk to, I think. Or that might be for a different mode. It was reminding me a lot of the unlockables in the original Resident Evil 2, like the tofu and the hunk playthroughs. Mm-hmm. And I think to get tofu, you had to play each... There's like a Leon and a Claire game, and there's a Leon A game and a B game and a Claire A game and a B game. And I think you had to play all of them. I think it was 4 times.
Wow.
It was something insane. It was insane. It was something that I did as, you know, like 12-year-old when I had that much time on my hands. Yeah. And like playing these games like under a certain amount of time. And that many times in a row, it's just like, that doesn't exist anymore. And thank God, because that is brutal. Brutal to do that. But there's a mode called Mad Mode in Blue Stinger. And that does give you all of the weapons with infinite ammo. So that seems to be like the main, I don't know, cool thing. So there's 2 more modes that you can unlock by playing the game a million times and doing really specific criteria. One of them reminded me a lot, again, of... Illbleed, and I guess it makes sense. So there's a mode called Swimmer Mode, and that is Elliot, Dogs, and Janine are in swimsuits. So Elliot is wearing American flag swim trunks, and Dogs is wearing like sumo underwear.
Oh my god.
With just his ass fully hanging out. And he's got a real big hairy chest. So you can play as Dogs like that. And obviously Janine is in a bikini. And I almost hate to show it in this video. The person who made this video is a real, real creep. So like, not only are we just going to see like Janine in a bikini, but the person who made this video has like really insane text at the bottom of the screen.
it's
troubling. But anyway, yeah, there's a video game character in a bikini. Yowza, yowza, hubba, hubba.
Oh, jeez.
Once they can control the character again, he just does a lot of, like, camera work. Like...
Oh, my God.
And also, like, hee-hee, bra and panties, Jesus Christ.
Boobs and butt.
Can you blame me? When I was younger, I think Janine is sexy here with all her curves, parentheses, butt and boobs, and bikini. It always looked like bra and panties to me. Nice pattern on it, too. Elliot's got good taste in women.
Yeah.
I'm glad you made a YouTube video, man, but, like, you've gotta knock it off. You've gotta pull it back a little bit. You've gotta, please...
Do it on your own time, man.
Do it on your own. I just wanted to see what the unlockables were. I don't need to glimpse into your mind. So the Japanese version has different swimwear, and it gets a little baffling.
Oh, no.
Elliot is just in, like, blue trunks. Dogs is fully naked. No penis.
Oh.
But, like, fully naked, full ass. Janine, I think it's funny, is wearing a one-piece bathing suit in the Japanese version. I have no idea why they made, like, that change. The last mode that you can unlock is called Big Eyes. And it is by far the funniest one. it's not just their eyes, it's their lip, too. Like, one of their lips. So they look kind of like Donkey Kong a little bit.
Okay, that was pretty funny. Okay.
Like, why is like,
what made
lip?
Them think like an extra?
I don't know.
he looks like a Muppet. That's amazing. It's like Beaker.
That's basically all I wanted to look at.
Blue Stinger.
Blue Stinger. Patrick, what would you rate Blue Stinger 1 out of 5 stars in 1999?
I'm going to have to give it, back in 99, I'd give it a 3.5.
Okay.
I'd say it's average.
Mm-hmm.
Little above average. I love the campiness, but it wasn't enough for me to finish it because it was too frustrating.
Yeah.
But there were some charm to it. But would I buy it again now? Mm-hmm. No. But I still do own my 1999 copy. So
yeah,
I will just put it back on my shelf and probably never
just
play it again.
Just admire it from afar.
Yes. Yes.
From a safe distance.
It's in good condition, so contact me if you're interested in buying it. So.
And it's classic. It's yeah, original. Yeah.
It's 1999. I still have the registration card.
Oh my God.
You know, so you can go make sure that your Blue Stinger is registered if you want that. So, yes.
Sign
do
up
it today.
For the sequel. Yeah.
Yeah. How about you, Jonathan? What would you rate it?
My gut, I'm going to go with what my gut original rating was, and I think I'll say 3 out of 5.
Okay.
So a little lower than you, but I didn't play it at the time. I think if I had played it, I probably would have played a lot of it.
Yeah.
I might have played the entire thing. I'm positive I played worse games, or at least games as bad at the time, and you know, either played a lot of them or played the whole thing.
Right.
Because you just played what you had access to. I remember playing Silent Hill, the original one, and that game was hard to play, and I feel similarly, you know, very not holding your hand, very confusing with like, where do I go? At least that game had a better map, but
I
played all of Silent Hill, so I probably would have played all of this, and I just would have, I don't know, been better at playing it.
Okay, Blue Stinger. I felt like we gave it a good, worthy send-off. I think we gave it enough attention and love.
Well, you know, it's funny. I feel like I've researched this game more than Sonic and Soul Calibur, specifically because I played, I don't know, maybe 2 hours of it and quit so kind of early into the game itself. So
yeah,
I put more effort into like researching this than I did the other two, just because I was pulling from memory mostly from the other two, because I played the living shit out of those games. And this one, I was like, I should do like some more due diligence on this crappy, on this game I did not enjoy at all.
Well, so, I mean, but we will do Illbleed. Yes. So, and that one, I think, even though it's been a while for you, I think you'll be more committed. I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember having very much a similar campy vibe, but being more into it because it's of the nature of it being like this crazy, wacky, like horror game. Whereas this one, it's crazy and like campy, but it's presented very straightforward as like this straightforward action adventure. And Illbleed is a straight up like a B movie. Like, here's B movie horror video game levels, which I loved. Cannot wait to play Illbleed.
There's just something about the Dreamcast and going back to the library, and it truly is one of the best consoles I think of its time, and still is. It's a shame that it only had a short life to it, but hey, we've got Blue Stinger, if we want to go back to it, we can.
Excellent. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks, Patrick, again for joining.
Thank you.
And talking, going down the Dreamcast memory rabbit hole. You can find this podcast on all podcast platforms, so follow and subscribe would be awesome. Let people know about it and, you know, share it around if you like it. You can follow Cactus Rodeo on Facebook and Twitter, and you can follow Casting Dreams on Instagram and TikTok. If you want to send us an email. It's podcast@cactusrodeo.com, so you can let us know what you think about our Dreamcast show. And if you have any recommendations also, like, you know, we're going to do a whole bunch of games, but if there's something that you really want to hear us talk about, or if there's something super obscure and, like, weird and out there, because I know there's a lot of that kind of stuff, yeah, just give us a heads up on, like, what would be a good thing for us to play and talk about. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time to talk more about Dreamcast.
Sounds great. Hey, take care, guys. Thanks again.